easy to think of God as a big, soft, cuddly toy, someone to go to in times of trouble to hold us. And of course, he is that someone to go to, our tower of refuge and strength in times of trouble. But there's another side to God that we can't ignore. God is a good God and a just God, and ultimately, he is therefore a God of anger and punishment and vengeance upon those who turn their backs on him. Now, we don't like to think about that, let alone talk about it, but it's true. It's who God is. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and welcome again to A Different Perspective. I remember when I was a kid doing some things that were just plain wrong. Well, that's a part of growing up. And every now and then, I get a good old-fashioned belting. It never seemed fair. I never enjoyed it. I guess that's natural. But now as an adult, I can look back on that and know that when I disobeyed my parents, there were consequences. And that's as it should be. I got my just desserts. And that's something we pretty much understand. There are certain boundaries in life, like the line between right and wrong. And when we cross those lines, there are consequences. You eat too much, you don't exercise, and you'll go to an early grave. You smoke, and you'll probably end up with lung cancer or heart disease. You fool around outside your marriage, and the marriage will probably fall apart. You know, we pretty much understand that, at least for other people. For them, there should be consequences, absolutely. But us, well, you know, we're prepared to cut ourselves a bit more slack than that, aren't we? It's true. We're prepared to judge other people more harshly than we judge ourselves, and that, as it turns out, goes to the heart of our relationship with God. This week we've begun a new series that I've called Extravagant Grace. Grace is something we don't deserve, and God's grace is definitely extravagant. It's over the top. It's more than we can hope for or imagine. But we don't have a need for God's grace unless we're someone who doesn't deserve it. Surely I'm not such a bad person, though. I deserve God's favour. Surely when I get up there in heaven, he'll pat me on the back. But that old cow over there, she deserves God's judgment, I tell you. Sound familiar? And have a listen to how the Apostle Paul deals with that sort of thinking. He talks about it in Romans chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. He says, "You have no excuses, you who pass judgment on someone else. For at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment, you do exactly the same things." Now, we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is truthful. So when you, a mere person, pass judgment on them, and yet you do the same things, do you think you'll escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness and his tolerance, his patience, not realizing that God's kindness is meant to lead you towards repentance? But because of your stubbornness, because of your unrepentant heart, you're storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's judgment, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. God will give to each person according to what they've done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory and honor and immortality, he'll give them eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every person who does evil, for the Jew and for the Gentile, but glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good, for the Jew and for the Gentile. For God does not show favoritism. I love that first part. I love it when he talks about us judging other people. We are in the business of judging other people. God should zap that person. They deserve it. But Paul turns the table on us. He basically says, "Yeah, but you're doing exactly the same thing. Wake up. Go off and do our own thing. People are into all sorts of stuff. Oh, well, no one will notice. I'll gossip behind someone's back, but no one will mind. I'll have anger in my heart. I'll have unforgiveness. I'll go and look at pornography, whatever it is. No one will notice. It doesn't really matter. But that person over there, they should be judged by God." Don't you realize that God's kindness is meant to lead you towards repentance? But instead, you're showing contempt for the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience. And then Paul goes on to say, because of your stubborn and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself, God's wrath. Oh, come on, Bernie, lighten up. People just have sex before marriage these days. It's just the way it is. People live together. Oh, come on, Bernie. It's not that serious. My sin, well, it's only small sin. Listen to me. Sin is never small. Why? Because sin is us turning away from God. You know, the word sin literally means to miss the mark or to miss the point. And the reason God created us was for us to have a relationship with him so we could see his glory, so we could experience his love. That's the point. And when we turn away from that and go that other direction and do our own thing and reject God, that is missing the point, and that is called sin. It doesn't matter how small it is. You know, I was in the army, and we used to do shooting practice, shooting our rifles. And you'd go to the 25-metre mound and shoot, and that was pretty close to the target. But when you went back to the 300-metre mound, tell you what, that target looked a long way away. And all you had to do was take your aim off just the smallest amount, and you would miss the target altogether. You would miss the mark. And when we deny God, what we're doing is rejecting the truth and following it in evil. And I know this might be an unpopular message. I know you might think, I'm just going to turn this off. I don't want to listen to this. But it's the truth. And there are consequences. Look again. There will be trouble and distress for every person who does evil. First for the Jew and then for the Gentile. But glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good. First for the Jew and then for the Gentile. For God does not show favoritism. See, when we turn away from God, there will be trouble and there will be distress. God doesn't show any favoritism. And that means trouble now. That means consequences now. What makes us think that in this beautiful world that God created, we can reject him and there won't be consequences? If we're going to be angry and selfish, we're going to have fractured relationships. If we're going to be money hungry, we're going to be lonely. And one day we're going to lose that money, and then where will we be? Wake up, Paul's saying. God doesn't show favoritism. God doesn't cut us slack and then punish the next person for doing the very same thing. God is impartial and fair. Why am I sharing this with you? Because it isn't just for those other people over there we think deserve it. It's for you and for me. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, Paul writes, "We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." All of us. You, me, all of us. That's why we need God's grace. Over the last few days, if you've been with us on the program, you may be thinking, why is Bernie hammering this so hard? I'm hurting. I'm afraid. This person's done this to me, and there's a war raging around me, and Bernie's doing some guilt trip on me. It doesn't matter who we are, where we are, what we're going through, good or bad, what we're feeling, good or bad. At the end of the day, the heart of the matter is this. If we have a fractured relationship with God, that came through our sin, and we are missing the point. You and I are in desperate need, because if we continue on, there will be judgment and there will be bad consequences right now. We need an answer. And we won't find that by staying on the surface, by dealing with the symptoms. We need to let God's word cut deep into our heart to deal with the disease so that we can come to grips with how much we need his extravagant grace. Is a God who wants to bless you, who wants to pour his extravagant grace out on you to give you a new life, however impossible that might seem, given the things you have going on in your life just at the moment. And that's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our latest life application booklet. It's called God's Abundant Blessing, and it's full of life-changing practical Bible teaching to help you actually lay hold of his mighty blessing and his extravagant grace. In fact, at the end of each chapter, there are some life application questions to help you reflect on God's word and apply it right into the realities of your life. To request your copy, stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com, and you'll see that free offer right there toward the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. Again, that web address is ChristianityWorks.com. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again same time tomorrow with a different perspective.